to go full cynical on you, as long as members of Congress are able to bet on individual stocks, or not bet, but invest, I mean, the amount of insider trading that is happening right now is absolutely obscene, and it's not
Right.
getting better. So until we curb that, I don't think I really care about anything else that that people may or may not be doing on Kalshi.
Welcome once again to Low Rollers, Thanksgiving week edition, dropping on a Wednesday because I am not working on Thanksgiving Day, no matter how many massive news stories the prediction market world decides to rain down upon us. I am Eric Raskin, senior editor at CasinoReports.com, and coming up on the show this week, I will be joined by one of my colleagues, Brett Smiley, our chief content officer, as we lean into the Thanksgiving theme and talk about things we're thankful for in the gambling world, which I'm pretty sure we're the first people ever to do this, to do things we're thankful for content on Thanksgiving week. So shout out to us for being at the forefront of innovation. But seriously, it's an excuse to hit on a variety of topics. I think you will enjoy that conversation. But first, a quick comment on some current events. I half joked in my opening line about a prediction market news dump on Thanksgiving Day, but certainly so far this week, these animals are not slowing down. First, Kalshi self-certified to offer parlays on politics and economics, which would have blown everyone's mind a year ago, but is now just, yeah, of course they did. Then Kalshi took a hit when Judge Andrew Gordon in Nevada dissolved the injunction that had allowed Kalshi to keep offering its sports contracts in the state. Though Kalshi is expected to appeal, and Judge Gordon may let the offerings continue while the appeal is being considered. And then Kalshi took arguably a bigger hit when Robinhood announced it was teaming up with Susquehanna to launch a prediction market. And though this isn't the end of the Kalshi-Robinhood partnership, it seems a big blow to Kalshi's market share and money-making potential. I find it amusing that while all of this is going on, next Monday, regulated sports betting will launch in Missouri. There will be plans and structure and launch times and regulators overseeing everything. It all feels so quaint, doesn't it? Like from 2018 until last year, these were a regular occurrence. States launching left and right, soft launches, then full launches, in-person ribbon cuttings. Now Missouri is the only one this year, and it may be a little while before the next state launch. And meanwhile, sports betting is available in all 50 states anyway, because prediction markets have decided that's the way it is, and nobody has quite stopped them yet, occasional injunctions notwithstanding. I read a line from Steve Ruddock's Straight to the Point newsletter this morning that really struck me. Steve wrote, quote, "We are hurtling toward a future in which prediction markets are either ubiquitous or non-existent. There seems to be no middle ground." That's well said. For now, signs point to ubiquitous, but it could shift if and when we ever get a different president, and maybe there are more immediate signs of a shift with the ruling in Nevada. We shall see. I'll leave it there for now, because the topic of prediction markets may just come up in my conversation with Brett Smiley. So let's get to that interview. Please enjoy a few seconds of music, and when I come back, Smiley and I will be talking about things we're thankful for. The most generic of Thanksgiving week podcast ideas calls for the least generic of podcast guests to make the whole thing feel not so generic. So I now welcome back to the show the chief content officer at Casino Reports and InGame, my colleague and friend, and most importantly, the father of a new puppy, Ruby. Brett Smiley, thanks for joining me again on Low Rollers, and how is Ruby doing?
She's doing great, actually. She was just removed from my office, the den in her office, because my wife came home, and I don't think anybody, even dog lovers, would want to hear her snoring in the background. So,
how is she barking wise? Is she a barker, or it would just be the snoring audio interference we'd be dealing with?
The snoring is light. Don't let me. It's a female dog, our first, so I don't want to talk about her snoring much. yeah, but she's finding her voice, a little bit of a bark. She's got a lot of personality and is fitting in very nicely here after about a month or so.
Excellent. All right, and I'm sure she's gearing up for her first Thanksgiving. Some celebrate Thanksgiving. We here choose to celebrate Thanksgambling. I don't know if that term has been coined before somewhere. Probably it has, but if I just invented it, great. It belongs to Low Rollers now. What we're gonna do? We're gonna celebrate by sharing and discussing our lists of things in the gambling world that we're thankful for. We'll do a few apiece. Neither of us knows what's on the other's list. Maybe we'll have some overlap. Maybe we won't. These can be things we're thankful for as gamblers or as members of the industry and members of the media. Pretty wide open. Smiley, you're the guest, so I defer to you to kick things off.
I am the guest, and you called me at the top was the least generic guest, which I'm thankful for that.
Is that
Yeah.
it? That's number one on your list, just being
No,
referred to as non-generic?
that's not, but we can make that
Okay.
number five. I'll take it.
Okay.
All right, I will start with one. I'm not sure if you might try to pluck this one or not. I'm thankful for the various gambling Substack-based publications. So this is kind of a media as well as gambling expression of gratitude. You know, it probably 10 or so years ago, maybe even five, the thought of having a non-website based publication might have been a little bit daunting, but in the Substack era, you don't really need a ton of capital to have a voice as long as you have something credible to say, or even non-credible, but not with respect to the people that I follow. You can build a publication, a following, have a distribution platform, and to name a few names, Steve Ruddick, Dustin Gauger are doing really good work on Substack, earnings and more, compliance and more. Beyond that, I consume quite a bit of Substack-based material. There's Adi, I'm not going to pronounce, attempt to pronounce it, his
No.
last name. He's doing a fine job educating those of us trying to keep up with the prediction markets beat. Who else is there? Sporting Crypto. I know friend of the website Ben Fox did a fine job on Substack. So I'll put a pin in it there. I'm just grateful for that outlet and that platform for enabling a variety of journalists and adjacent to get their thoughts out.
So when you said before we started recording that there was one on your list that you were particularly thinking might be on mine as well, was this the one you had in mind?
It's actually another one, but I wouldn't be shocked if this might have
Yeah.
been on your list as well. Was it?
Okay. Yes. This is almost word for word and thought for thought one of the things I'm thankful for. So we already have one in common. This is going to be really boring if we have like the exact same list, but I doubt we will. Hopefully, this is there's one other that I was thinking is more likely to overlap, and so maybe I'll throw that one out there next. But just to continue commenting on this one, I like the fact that Substack, there's almost no barrier to entry, which is not always a great thing, depending on what we're talking about. But in this case, anyone can give it a try. All it really costs them is their time. And if they're good and build a following, they can monetize it. It ends up opening the door to people to have an outlet who otherwise might not. And so not just like the journalists you named, but it seems there are some people on there who are in the industry but have never tried writing before, or at least writing isn't their main thing, but they have knowledge of the industry and they've popped up on Substack to share their insights that way. And I think that that's really added a lot to the gambling information ecosystem, I guess I'd say. I'm right with you on this one, that this has been a huge asset. And just to also to us as people who work at a media company, to the information that we get, the number of stories that originate because someone on Substack broke it, and then we try and take it from there. That's been huge as well.
Indeed. And while we're on the topic, I'd be remiss to not mention, because I'm sure he will hit us up if we did not mention it, but Jeff Edelstein,
Oh, right.
former Low Rollers co-host, also has a Substack now, not necessarily on gambling things, but Jeff's various adventures and experiences, let's say that.
Yeah, specifically not on gambling things, because I guess he recognizes that as if he's got something to say about gambling, he should say it somewhere for us. But yeah, pretty much anything else. I feel like he had one recently where There was a lot of focus on his feet, and I didn't enjoy that one quite as much. But for the most part, I found his Substack enjoyable. And he did the Vegas story that he told when he was on the pod recently about nearly getting attacked by some unhoused people and their scary dogs. I read that on Substack first, so which helped me be prepared for the various twists that were coming.
Yep. Yeah, the one about feet, I made it about six words in and then evacuated.
Probably a wise move. All right. So we had an overlap there. Here's the one that's on my list that I think has a chance of also being on yours. Probably my most sort of Captain Obvious thing to be thankful for, but so be it. I'm thankful for regulation and modern technology rooting out sports betting scandals. I know there are two sides to all of it. Like, absolutely, the legalization of sports betting has created some scandals that otherwise might not exist. Like, not that this was really a major scandal, but would Calvin Ridley have ever placed a bet on the NFL if it wasn't so readily available to him? Maybe, but probably not, is kind of my sense of things. Legalization has opened new doors and made it all much more accessible, certainly. But clearly, people were manipulating sports for gambling purposes before legalization. Who knows how many countless examples went undetected, and regulation is making it way, way more likely to get caught. Like, using the examples of Clase and Ortiz, the two Guardians pitchers, I don't recall seeing anyone on social media isolating those bad pitches as suspicious at all. The pitches happened. Hundreds of thousands of people were watching when they happened. Nobody was going to catch on. It required unusual betting patterns and regulated books reporting them, and watchdogs like IC360 spreading the word, and so forth. We have the technology to pick up immediately on these betting patterns. It's being used. If people are going to try to game the system, and they are, whether they can bet legally or not, I'm thankful we're catching them, regardless of what Ohio Governor Mike DeWine may not understand about all this.
I'll say that one didn't sniff my list, which isn't to say that it isn't deserving to be on one of ours. I think I hope that one of the consequences of the Class A case and an innocent until proven guilty, although it looks pretty damn guilty to me,
Right.
is that there'll be fewer attempts. I mean, this is pretty high profile. We're talking about a guy who might have been on Hall of Fame trajectory, was reliever of the year twice, maybe three
Or
times.
at least once, anyway, yeah.
So I don't know. I guess there'll always be outliers, but let's hope that this pretty high profile indictment leads to fewer down the road.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, kind of been what I've been hoping for throughout this era of people getting caught breaking the rules. That, like, the Ridley one, again, not really a scandal, but someone who broke the rules. And when that was happening, there was a lot of, well, this is so high profile, now guys are going to know that they can't do this, and it's going to stop. And it didn't stop, but it seemed not too long after that guys getting caught betting on their own sports because they didn't understand they weren't allowed to and stuff like that. That seems to have mostly tapered off. Now it's these schemes that are getting sniffed out that really are scandals. And yeah, you would hope somebody out there is looking at this, and the next between the Jontay Porter and Ro Terry Rozier and the Guardians pitchers and all that they're sort of seeing, wow, these guys are really throwing their entire careers away for relatively paltry amounts of money. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, career reputations, all of it.
Yeah.
Want me to get to my next
Yeah,
one?
what's next on your list here?
Okay, it's an individual. I'm guessing not on your list. Not that he's not deserving, but I don't know if your mind went in this direction. I'm thankful for Andrew Kim, attorney Andrew Kim of Goodwin Law. He is probably any of our listeners would know who he is. He's an attorney who specializes in appellate law, and he's doing a phenomenal job of staying abreast of the various developments in the prediction markets realm. In particular, there's oh boy, there's too many cases to follow. But thankfully, he is there with us, attempting to follow them all, and frequently offering snap reactions, whether it be on Twitter or in Dustin's newsletter, or he's speaking with Daniel. And I think he's doing it out of genuine curiosity, not somebody who is really an attention seeker. So a quality contribution to the stable of lawyers who are voraciously, following all of these things.
Yeah, that's a good one. Hadn't occurred to me, but he is worthy of thanks at this time of year. I think he adds a lot to the discussion of these topics. That these are the ones that hurt my brain a little bit. Some of these court cases, things that are filled with legalese, it's like that, and like the high level financial stuff are the things that I kind of gloss over, and it's hard for me to process. And so it helps to have experts like Andrew Kim out there breaking it down, explaining it. He seems, I've never spoken to him, but he seems very like media friendly, like available. I don't know what he's doing all day that he can always just like stop and tweet about whatever's going on in gambling, the gambling legal world, but it seems like he makes himself very available for quotes too, as you said, Daniel O'Boyle writing for us, but other people out there as well. So yeah, he's been a real asset to the industry, and I'm not sure that I had even heard of him a year ago, but absolutely worthy of thanks.
Yeah, I'm not sure he had much of a public persona, didn't really put himself out there until a year ago. And as far as his availability, I guess that's why they bill in 10 minute increments. So that we can definitely get on Twitter and share our thoughts. And I'll add too, shout out to Daniel Wallach as well, who is sharing a voluminous amount of stuff as well. It's just Wallach's been with us for some time, and Andrew's the newcomer.
Right. I guess it's that it's good to have multiple legal experts that we can turn to. That it was kind of like, well, who are we going to talk to? And it was almost always Wallach. So it's good to have some variety there. Now we need the two of them to get into a Twitter feud, though, over who is the true gambling legal expert. I don't know if we can somehow do something to help spark that feud, but I want to sit back and watch
Yeah, I invite you to do that. I don't want any part of
that.
there's enough fighting on X or Twitter, so you can manage that one.
All right, I'll see what I can do. I know that Wallach, like me, is a huge Springsteen guy. So maybe if I can find out that Kim is anti the boss, I can plant some seeds there.
That's your pathway.
All right, well, that sets up one of mine then, I think, in that I also had some personalities within the space that I'm thankful for. Although this one is maybe a little counterintuitive, but I'm thankful for the big personalities and innovators and risk takers who keep the news cycle churning, even the ones who are very much not my kind of people. A couple that spring to mind that I'll single out. Victor Rocha, for one. His tweets irritate me. His arrogance comes through in every word. He's not my kind of guy in the real world, but he sure keeps things interesting, and he does know what he's talking about when it comes to California and the tribes. His arrogance there is reasonably warranted, it seems to prove time and again. Another one, Tariq Mansour. Again, talks out of his ass, contradicts himself a lot. He's making a big mess of things, but a compelling personality and a guy who gives us plenty to write and talk about. Sometimes I feel like maybe we'd be better off without these types of people, but overall, I'm thankful they're in our universe. There's little risk of the gambling world getting boring with people like that around.
Yeah, and I don't know either of those two people personally. I guess I know Victor a little bit. He's definitely an outspoken attack dog. That's his lane. I don't know if I imagine he believes everything he shares, even when it's a little bit of aggressive. Tarek, don't really know him much either. But he's the public face of the company, and they're advocating for certain positions in the courts that, maybe he's saying out loud just to further some of those arguments, but maybe at least their advertising seems to contradict some of what they're saying in court. So I'll leave it at
Right.
that.
Right. Depending on who they're talking to and where they're saying it, they'll sometimes claim to be gambling and sometimes claim not to be gambling, and there's all that sort of stuff going on. But sometimes I wish the news cycle was a little slower and Kalshi and the other prediction markets weren't contributing quite as much as they are. But all in all, I'm thankful for sort of what they've added to the discourse here. They've certainly, again, we're not going to run out of stuff to write about as long as they're around.
Well, that's a good segue because I did have on my list prediction markets in general, and
Okay.
so that'll be my third thing that I'm thankful for. To your point, it's attempting to cover everything in that realm has kept us overwhelmingly busy, and it's felt pretty daunting at times. But if choosing between too much and too little, I think I would almost always go for too much. We just have to be mindful of our own bandwidth and that of the team, and figure out ways to cover things substantively and try and stay abreast of it all. But yeah, no, I'm glad it's kind of shoehorned its way into our world, and they're pushing into sports betting because there's been a lot of interesting things to cover, things that we probably never would have examined before. Dissecting the Commodity Exchange Act, amongst other things, and federal regulation. It's brought some interesting court cases to the forefront. And I don't know, I kind of think it's amusing how, in the wake of the Murphy case, Murphy v. NCAA, which is all about state sovereignty, we're now in a position where everyone might get hit over the head with federalism and just, render all of that kind of for naught. So it's an interesting dynamic right now.
Yeah, and I guess to play devil's advocate though, of yes, I had prediction markets have been good for us from a content perspective, but since I just freshly read Adam Kinzinger's Substack post that you actually shared to the group that concerned prediction markets, he said some very salient things about the dangers of allowing these markets that can be so easily manipulated by a single person. Like here we have legislators trying to get rid of sports prop bets that are too easily controlled by one person. Kinzinger was pointing out, these markets where, representatives, congressmen, et cetera, can bet on themselves to vote or not vote a certain way, knowing exactly how they plan to vote and get rich off it. That there is a line that these prediction markets are not shy about crossing. And so there is for the world, not just for the industry, but for the world in overall, there is a big downside to some of the ways that they are doing business, would be the devil's advocate take. But I am nevertheless, I share your feeling of thankfulness on a certain level that they've come here and invaded our space.
Yeah, point taken there. Although, I mean, there's certain markets like the mention markets, I think are kind of ridiculous with, will
Right.
CEO say this on an earnings call and legislators, voting on what their own votes will be. But, to go full cynical on you, as long as there's insider trading or there's the, as long as members of Congress are able to bet on individual stocks or not bet, but, invest. I mean, the amount of insider trading that is happening right now is absolutely obscene, and it's not
Right.
getting better. So until we curb that, I don't think I really care about anything else that that people may or may not be doing on Kalshi.
All right, you're ready to just throw out all the rules, huh? As
Not
long as
throw out
there
all
are
the
no
rules.
rules.
Well, no, I mean that is something
Right.
that clearly needs to be fixed, but you're asking,
Right.
the people who benefit from it to do the repairing, and I don't know. I mean, Josh Hawley, I guess, has called for it at one point, but I don't know if he's really serious about it or not. So, well, but we're not a political podcast, so let's table it right there.
Okay, that's a fair place to cut that off. I have one more thing on my thankful list, maybe a couple of smaller things that we can hit at the end, but I have one more big one on my list, and this is a very self-focused one, something I'm thankful for as a gambler, and especially as a low roller, as probably the lowest stakes gambler that as a nit, basically, if I'm being frank about what I am thankful for my legal access to all forms of online gambling in my home state of Pennsylvania, and this, of course, applies to you in New Jersey as well. I can bet sports, I can play DFS, I can play poker, I can play online casino. I get promos for pretty much all of the above, sometimes making them plus EV plays for me. And most importantly, what I'll isolate here that I'm thankful for, with online gambling comes incredibly low stakes options. If I go to Parx Casino, if I want to sit at a blackjack table, maybe at cheapest I'll find a $10 table. Maybe if I go at the right time of day, online I can play for 10 cents a hand. Now, even I am not that cheap, but $2 a hand, that's about my speed. I can play slots for 10 or 20 cents a spin, though my preferred amount tends to be more like 40 cents. I can place $1 sports parlays. In poker, I like to play $25 spin and goes, which isn't such a low roller move, but still, You can't find a game like that in a casino. There are no 25-cent, 50-cent cash games if you're into cash games. So I'm thankful for online gambling and the way it gives me access to all sorts of truly recreational, fun ways to gamble responsibly. You know, take that away, and maybe I don't really gamble at all, and we can argue whether that would be better or worse, but maybe I do, and I do it at amounts that I'm not so comfortable losing. So that's what I'm thankful for with online gambling.
All right, good one by you. And I share the frustration with the in-person table games. You said tenant parks. I can't tell you the last time I've seen a table in Atlantic City or Vegas. Not that I go very often. That is below 25. I mean, maybe
Right.
you'll find 15 blackjack one table on occasion that is two layers deep. But
Right,
it's
that's the
I don't know
problem.
where all these people come from that are dropping whatever sums they are.
Yeah, I went to a bachelor party in Vegas about 15 years ago, and we couldn't even find a $25 table on, like, I guess this was like on a weekend night or whatever. And so we ended up having to, like, one guy sits at the table with everyone's bankroll, betting $100 a hand because like 15 different guys put in $100 so we'd have enough to play. Of course, that all disappeared quickly anyway. So yeah, the fact that you can't find a cheap table, especially at slow times of day, it should be a lot easier to find a $10 table, but it's nearly
There's got to
impossible,
be
and it
somebody
sucks.
who's thought about the economics of being like the lower stakes casino. I suppose that has been tried and doesn't quite
Yeah.
work.
Well, they in Vegas, at least, if you get off the strip, if you go downtown, it's not so hard to find your $5 and $10 tables. But that's the whole thing is, you know, when you have to pay a dealer and the cocktail waitresses and the floor staff and everyone else, you want those profit margins higher. Online, it doesn't cost them anything to let me play for 10 cents a hand if I want to.
Well, I got one more since you had
Yeah.
asked an extra, and we'll
Yeah, go for it.
veer into the heartwarming section. I'm grateful for my and your colleagues, the editorial team in particular. I think everyone is doing a really good job. We've Endgame has been publishing about 6 months now. I think we've hit our groove. Everybody is collectively acting as a team. Just efforts complementary and not really competing within. So, I mean, the task to try and cover everything is fairly daunting, but I'm pleased with how everybody has come together and found different lanes, some of them adjacent, and putting out a lot of good content.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I had that jotted down as my potential Thanksgiving leftovers, little things to mention at the end, but that's perfect. Yeah, I'm really thankful for the whole team we have at Third Planet, other than Edelstein. Yeah, whatever. You can take or leave him, but the rest of them, very thankful. And I'll throw out one more quickie at you, sticking with my personal gambling habits. I'm thankful for Best Ball because it has given me something to sweat in a remotely positive way, fantasy wise, all season while I have just consistently sucked week in and week out at DFS.
Who do you have that is anchoring your best ball portfolio favorably now?
So let's see. So I did seven drafts, which is not a lot for some people, but is the most I've ever done. And with 2 weeks left in the season, two of them would be advancing, and two others are right there in the hunt. So if I advance three, that would be thrilling. Even if I advance two, I'll be plenty happy with that. Do I have like someone who's in like I think I have Jalen Hurts in three lineups, and he's been like a nice solid. It was one of those things where all draft season, when it was getting to that Hurts Daniels section of the draft, I always went Hurts and thought Daniels was going too high, and so that stance has paid off nicely. And then I happen to have a lot of Quentin Johnston, which was great for a couple of weeks and then isn't doing anything for me now. But yeah, just sort of some random hodgepodge teams where I have some little things working. But none of my teams are close to like clinching yet. I'm still like just barely hanging on with the ones that are going to advance. So it's close. How's your best ball portfolio?
I didn't do any best ball.
Oh, didn't
It's
do any. Okay.
no, I'm play a lot of DFS, and I just decided that is that's my thing, and I don't want to be drafting over the summer and spring. I need time to recharge, and and do all that. But you mentioned the Eagles. Do you want to talk about how the Eagles blew a 21-point lead, or do you want to
Or
save
do you
that?
want to talk about how the Giants somehow found another creative, inventive way to lose a very winnable game? I don't know.
The Giants are already terrible, and I'm numb, so that changes nothing for
That's
me. But if you need a
fair.
place to discuss the Eagles, let's go.
I'll say this about the Eagles. I wasn't too, I mean, it was obviously a horrible loss. Like, you just shouldn't blow leads like that. But it's not like there's any realistic chance that they don't still win the NFC East. It's just what they blew was probably a good shot at getting the bye. That may have gone away, and that would be nice to have. But not a disastrous loss. One of those things that's more like embarrassing, and it sucks that it came against the Cowboys than actually like a loss that makes you feel like, oh no, we screwed up our. Plus, we're the defending Super Bowl champions. I'm not really allowed to complain if things don't go my way this year. So I'm kind of rolling with it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see the Eagles lose, but on the other hand, I don't like that you gave the Cowboys some hope or something optimistic. So
Right.
I
Well,
guess
they'll blow that. We all know they're going to find a way to
it's
lose some other game they should win and miss the playoffs by a game or two. So that'll be fine.
Yeah. Or do something silly come playoffs time, but we'll see.
Right. All right. We managed to cover a wide variety of topics here, and I think this was a perfect setup for Thanksgiving. A little thanks gambling to lead into Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining me in this endeavor, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Mr. Smiley.
Likewise, I'm happy to be your non-generic guest, and I look forward to some football, thanks gambling, turkey, all that, and hope everyone out there, I think they'll be listening prior to Thanksgiving or
Yes,
after.
this will drop Wednesday. So,
Okay, good.
yep.
Well, then, happy
Yeah.
Thanksgiving to all.
Okay, in the continuing spirit of giving thanks, a big thank you to Smiley for joining me on the pod this week, despite his totally uncalled for attack on the Eagles at the end. So, as we roll into the Thanksgiving break, I'm going to offer a few words on how I plan to spend the long weekend. Again, assuming Kalshi doesn't announce a partnership with Amazon, Google, and Yahoo on Friday morning and ruin my break. Yes, I will spend time with family, and I very much look forward to that. My daughter is home from college. It's great that we're all together again. I will also spend time watching lots of football, obviously. But my other goal, and it's not a goal I'm proud of, is to watch lots of TV. Tonight, the first four episodes of the final season of Stranger Things drop, and this does tie in family, as both of my kids are obsessed. It's probably the all-time number one favorite show for both of them, as it is for much of their generation, and I'm hoping they'll let me and my wife watch it with them, but probably they won't. In any case, definitely banging that out over the course of the weekend before anyone can spoil it for me. Also, the Beatles anthology was just added to Disney Plus. I saw it 30 years ago, of course, but it's time to watch it again, this time with my kids, if they can be convinced to spend time with me. Big if. Also, the second season of A Man on the Inside is out. I haven't started that yet. Definitely want to. I still haven't started the five-part Scorsese doc. Hopefully, I can get to that this weekend. So maybe all of this makes you respect me less, if that was possible. But lying on the couch, binging TV, intermittently napping as I try to binge TV, that's a big part of my hashtag Thanksgiving goals. By the way, as long as I'm talking TV and binging, I was going to skip the Netflix show The Beast in Me with Claire Danes and Matthew Rhys, but then I heard Bill Simmons on a podcast about a week ago say it's the best show of the year, better than Task, which he loved. So I figured, okay, guess I got to check this show out. Well, I watched it all. It is a solid B, and Bill Simmons' pop culture tastes are never to be trusted again. The Beast in Me ain't sniffing my top 10 shows of 2025, not even close. It's fine, but also hacky writing in spots, generally kind of trashy TV, and to elevate it over Task, The Pitt, Severance, The Bear, that's an ice cold take. And we here at Low Rollers have no time for ice cold takes. No. We are all about small stakes and hot takes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.